Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
Kaya Biz.
Market update.
It feels so good to say that. Oh, man, it's lovely to be back. So the JSE All Share Index, we've closed up in positive territory, up by 0.2% today, 84,425 points. So keeping to those, heightened levels that we've witnessed in the last few weeks, I must tell you that we are seeing that strength coming from the resource stocks together with the metals and mining up by more than 3%. So you know what that means. I guess a lot of investors are going back to perhaps what they regard as safe haven assets and some companies that they believe will ride the wave in terms of the commodity prices and where we are now. Before we give you some insight into the rest of the key major moves up, the international markets, while the US is also opened up fairly strongly, mixed bag when it comes to European and Asian markets though so far. Let's talk about those major moves up. Gold Fields up by 4%, followed by the likes of Anglo Platinum, Impala Platinum and Northern Platinum. So guess what? It's been a great day for gold as well as platinum counters. Pick and Pay and Telkom also featuring on the list there. Both share prices up by more than 4%. We also see on the losing end, though, largely dominated by the likes of AB InBev, Glencore and Sappi, including the likes of Bidcorp. But let's talk currencies. I must tell you, I am ever so grateful that the rand dollar exchange rate was around 17 when I was in the US. Those $3 to $5 cappuccinos. Yeah. At some point you stop translating the currency into your local currency because have a heart attack. 18.01 is where we're trading to the US dollar for now. The currency to the British pound is at 22.78 and at 19.04 against the euro. Let's talk markets now and all things revolving around the space with one of our formidable guests who's actually joined me in studio today, Roy Mutoni from Sanlam Investments. Such a pleasure to have you, Roy.
Thanks for having me here, Gugu, and welcome back.
Thank you. I must tell you, it was a phenomenal trip and I was sharing some insight with you outside the studio. And a lot of the rage was around the outcomes of the elections, what this means for South Africa, especially when it comes to the markets. And we've been hearing Trump trade, the Magnificent Seven, where to invest. What does this mean for global equities as well as interest rates and inflation? But your analysis and perspective of it all so far, given that the elections took place well over, 2 weeks ago?
I think the way to think about that was before the elections, they have these polls and they run all these frequent polls and it seemed like we were already pricing in a Trump win. Mm-hmm. But clearly, once the win came through, the perspective we got was, no, it wasn't all priced in. And that's why you saw a big rally in the markets.
Yeah.
You saw the stocks move up. You saw the specific Trump stocks do extremely well. The anti-Trump stocks underperform. And then I think as time has moved on and people have started thinking and looking at the appointments that he's putting into cabinet and stuff, what people are now firming up is a view of what could happen.
Mm.
And I think what's coming through is that I don't think the election or the campaigning period was an exaggeration. He, in all likelihood, will pursue the tariffs that he promised. He, in all likelihood, will put through the tax cuts that he said. And a lot of these things are going to happen. And you can see the cabinet that he's putting together is a personification of the aggression that he had previously. And he's got his legacy in mind. He knows he doesn't have much time, and he's going to do it. And I think that's the mentality that's coming into market. So mm-hmm. you've seen long bond yields rising.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the way to connect that with markets is that a feeling the US has held up incredibly well. So, and now the need to cut rates is diminishing.
Mm-hmm.
So when you look out further, the long bond, the 10-year and the 30-year are all up to 4.5%, close to 5%, which is ridiculous if you consider where we were a few years ago.
Yeah.
So there's all this feeling that the rate cutting cycle may not be what we all expected.
Mm.
And there's a big risk that fiscal spending may actually go out of hand. So yes, it's every day the dynamic changes.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And we can't ignore the fact that the US is plagued by its own fiscal challenges in mm-hmm. terms of its debt levels that mm-hmm. it's unlikely to recover from and many other aspects. I'm keen to get your thoughts, and I think it's so mm-hmm. critical for us to explain this to everyone, really. Mm-hmm. A lot of individuals look at Trump and, you know, compare the structure of the economy to his leadership style. And the truth is the economy is not run by one man.
Absolutely.
There's so many aspects that influence the economic outcomes. And is this just perfect timing in terms of him coming into leadership yet again, given where we are in terms of the inflation cycle and the moves and options that he has available to him? Or is this, I guess, what we see other ripple effects that might in terms of his leadership?
I think what he's done is he's turned the narrative to revolve around what he wants to implement and what he wants the Republican Party to look like. Because if we look back at the last 3 years, the Biden administration created employment, reduced inflation, started bringing down interest rates, and did a lot of the right stuff. And it's just that, I guess, none of this came out during the campaign period because it was filled with the narrative that the Trump side came up with.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing about it is when you look back to the, his previous term, it was all about what he said, and he went hard and he did his tariffs and he did exactly what he was going to do, he said he was going to do. So the tariffs came in. And when the Democrats won, the tariffs didn't go away. So there's an enduring thing here. The anti-China, the China is a big bad wolf story, is now deeply embedded in the psyche of the Americans. So expect to see that coming through. The whole idea of make America greater by refocusing internally, expect to see that growing and expect the rest of us to pay the price, to be absolutely honest. That's what it looks like.
So it's all coming. We don't fully comprehend what it looks like, but is there still opportunity, especially for us as South African investors, when it comes to the U.S. stock market, especially when it comes to the Magnificent Seven, the major technology stocks, Apple, Amazon, Microsoft, and Google, and many others that actually play an influence here? Looking at Tesla, since the election, it's gone up. It's crazy. It's insane, the level of growth in the share price, all because of what we see in terms of Elon Musk, his appointment to this government of efficiency, and the sentiment that it shares.
So again, it goes back to narrative, and narratives are incredibly powerful. So it seems that Elon Musk has great influence in this administration and in what the administration needs to achieve. And he seems to be the right-hand man. So clearly, and I guess the narrative as well was that he invested a lot for this to happen. And he was on the ground drumming up support and everything. So I guess the natural feeling is that he must benefit somehow. How does he benefit? Well, SpaceX, Tesla, through regulations and all of that. So this is regulatory arbitrage. Because the whole feeling is that Trump comes in and diminishes or reduces regulatory power and regulatory authority, makes the market freer and unleashes the powers of competition and everything within the American space. So the thing is, as investors, you mustn't lose sight of the fact that in markets, we buy earnings and we price earnings. These stocks have been moving massively and quite dramatically over the recent past. Valuations are stretched. There's a lot of promise in current share prices. And the thing to think about is where yields have gotten to, there's a lot less justification of being in equity markets substantially more. Because at 5% 30-year or 5% 10-year U.S. yields, why would you want to be in anything else? So if any one of these disappoints, like if NVIDIA comes in with results that are less than perfect, there will be a lot of volatility. And then doubts will come in and the narrative will begin to crack. If the Fed decides to slow down on rate cuts, or even just say, we've done enough, the economy is still strong, and inflation is still at 3%, the narrative is going to crack. So we're at that point where it's almost like a tipping point. We could keep moving up because markets overreact, but just one or two little things could bring the whole card, the whole deck of cards falling.
There's so much to consider, even the personality dynamics and regarding the leadership of the Federal Reserve, how Jerome Powell relates to Donald Trump and the threats about him potentially losing his job, whether he can or cannot. It's going to be an interesting ride in the next few months, I must say. Let's come closer to home because we have our own level of activity here that's really been building up. Astral Foods, a company that I've long admired, if we think about Goldie Chicken and a few of the other poultry brands, but Talk about cyclical. If I'm not mistaken, mm-hmm. last year, November, this company reported a significant loss, first of its kind, and now back to making a profit after settling much of its debt. And I guess the pressure of the macroeconomic environment, load shedding specifically, and bird flu easing as well. Your thoughts on the company?
I think what's admirable about the company is 12 months ago, they came out and they said, these are all the things that have gone wrong. These are the things that are our fault. This is what the market's done to us. This is what failure of infrastructure has done to us. This is where we are. This is our plan. For the next 12 months, we're going to execute in this way, and this is how you're going to measure us. 12 months later, they're here making 20 rands per share from being loss-making. So it's a perfect example of how a corporate can manage its communications and promise its stakeholders and deliver. In just a period of 12 months, they've been able to turn this around.
Right.
Now, they're not promising that we're in heaven now and everything will be perfect. I mean, in their update, they also mentioned avian flu has not totally gone away. We really don't have subsidies around. The consumer is still stretched. We haven't got price increases. But, you know, as a business, they're back on track. They're now doing the stuff that we know them to be able to do really well. And now we'll see how they progress in this period where interest rates may come down. You might see a little bit of better sentiment. Mm. Maybe they benefit from that. But, I mean, to all intents and purposes, they're back on track.
100%. Mm-hmm. We Buy Cars is probably one that many South Africans have been looking forward to seeing. Great profits, but I'm keen to get your thoughts in terms of the sustainability of these earnings going forward and the performance of the numbers.
So We Buy Cars just recently listed. Well, the share price has doubled since they listed. This is a very interesting company. I mean, you can't get away from their very extensive marketing investment and all of that. But they've come with one view: to consolidate the aftermarket. Mm-hmm. And one very interesting statistic they put in their presentations is the size of the new vehicle market has been contracting, the size of the used vehicle market has been growing. And how has that happened? It's because people have become more cash-strapped and you need cars. So they trade their cars a whole lot more. So rather than one car that's held for 8 years, you have a car that's traded every 3 years because it's older and there's less depreciation at that age. And they are, without question, the leaders in that market. So they've got a national footprint. They've made it absolutely easy for you to buy and sell your cars without the risk of being conned or being hijacked. So I think this is a business that has a very solid future and one that we should keep watching.
We're speaking to the Chief Strategy Officer in a moment or two, Willem Klopper. What's the one question we should ask him?
How long do they think it will take for them to become as dominant in the commercial market as they are in the passenger market? Because that would be a really big step in them transforming this whole market.
Interesting question. And my mind already popped to like the performance of the economy, because if SMMEs and medium-sized businesses are doing well, then that speaks to a greater growth in the commercial space, but also competing with them many other key players and dealerships within that regard. Oh, Roy, you're tickling my brain cells now. Thank you so for coming through, Roy. We could have this conversation for hours on end, but we have to pay the bills, I'm told.
Absolutely.
Really always appreciate it. Thank you. That's Roy Mutoni, analyst at Sanlam Investments, helping us unpack the market performance for today. Everything from the international market sentiment and perspective that we have to local companies and the results that have been released.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.